Good afternoon. The time and location notice for the Infill Incentive District Design Review Committee. Today is February 23rd, Thursday at approximately 3:36 p.m. Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm Chris Gans. We'll start with roll call.
Mr. Gans.
Here.
Mr. Burr.
Here.
Ms. Kathleen Erickson.
Here.
Ms. Schombach.
Here.
Ms. Woods.
Here.
Mr. Viner.
Here.
And today our design professional is Richard Phaeton.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Okay.
I do have one piece of business I'd like to discuss.
Yes.
With the retirement of Mr. Keith that we reviewed last hearing, we have been working to get Kathleen placed on the committee. However, we do not have the formal signatures required at this time. So we would like to include her in the meeting and ensure that her comments are reviewed and discussed. However, she may not vote today. Okay?
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is approval of the legal action report, January 26, 2017. Has everybody had the opportunity to review that?
Motion to approve is presented.
Okay. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is IID-16-10. Downtown Clifton, T16SA00432. And as in the past, I would like to let the presenter their project, have staff report, the design professional. Any questions or just for clarifying, and then we'll go into discussion after those three. Is that agreeable to the board? Okay.
That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. I am Matt Stewart, Cycle Civil Development. I'm here with Rick McLean. Reverend McLean, who is a project architect on downtown Clifton. So we're here with the Downtown Clifton Hotel, which is near 16th and Stone. This project, an expansion of that hotel use on some mega properties next door. So we'll do a brief overview of the location. We'll talk about the IID and this being within the Greater Infill Incentive Subdistrict, not the downtown core itself. We'll talk about some of the requested modification that we're seeking as part of the GIS, some beyond the outside the GIS. We'll talk about the layout itself, what we're trying to do with scale, and how it relates to the neighboring properties. We'll get into kind of the design development package itself, the process, and then lastly, we'll talk about the architectural precedent, some of the influences, as well as we'll view some of the renderings before moving on to questions. Yeah. Okay, so the site question here, this is two vacant lots. Right there was Stone on the west, 16th to the south, and Russell to the west. It's important to note that this is within the National Register District for Armory Park. However, it's not part of the historic preservation zone for Armory Park. So that borders the property. Over here, we actually have Barrio Libre. So the existing downtown Clifton is a non-contributing structure as it is right now. And this is not subject to some of the historic review, plans review that you normally find within historic preservation zone projects. So the goal is really to expand the existing downtown Clifton Hotel. There are currently 11 units that are able to rent. We are proposing a small demolition of a structure on the site which houses three rental units, and we'll add 21 as part of the new construction on those sites to the south. Lastly, we wanted to make sure that we had elements that are congruent with both the existing hotel, as that's a building that we really come to like and enjoy as part of Tucson, as well as fits in with Armory Park as well as Barrio Libre in terms of the style and amenities. And lastly, offer patrons the opportunity to experience historic downtown Tucson, as many are starting to live in these neighborhoods, visit these neighborhoods more often. We're seeing a lot more visitors and tourism wanting to be able to walk, bike, and be in close proximity in downtown, but may not have the hustle and bustle that comes with the downtown project. So lastly, the Infill Incentive District, it's an overlay zone that really tries to promote pedestrian transit-oriented development. The Greater Infill Incentive District is just outside, for the most part, the periphery of the downtown core itself. So it recognizes the individual scale, the neighborhood scale that exists. But at the same time, we want to be able to promote development that fits in and allows accessibility to some of these downtown efforts and really capture the relative closeness and proximity that we are to the downtown itself. So some of the allowable modifications, the ones that are bold and underlined are what we are requesting today. Building height, we are not requesting. The building itself will be 20 feet at the highest, but most of the building will be at 19 feet, which is right in line with what we see in Armory Park and Barrio Libre. Street perimeter yards, as this is within neighboring historic districts, we're actually wanting to push the project to really more of a zero lot line development, as that's what we see all throughout this area, especially along Stone, both south, east, west, and north. Bicycle vehicle parking. We will be providing bicycle parking. Vehicle parking is where we're asking for a modification to the requirement. As there are 29 units, we have also about 2,800 square feet of common area space that will be sort of restaurant, office, etc. Our total parking count according to the UDC comes to about 38, and that's one space per every unit and 300 square feet per common area. As such, the IID allows for an up to 25% reduction. So we're now looking at approximately about 29 spaces for the site. We're also going to be looking at as part of the IID, TDOT is allowed to utilize 5 parking spaces on street as part of our calculation as well. So we'll have 21 spaces sitting on site. We'll have additional 5. Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong. I have 26 on-site parking spaces, and we'll use 5 along 16th as part of our calculation. Off-street loading is not applicable for this project. Solid waste collection, that'll be achieved in Russell. We'll be using Russell as there's currently pickup offered now for the residences. We'll actually create a storage and recycling center area on the outside. The dumpsters will be wheeled out to Russell during picked up and then pushed back. And I'll explain that when we look at the site itself. Landscaping and screening, again, as this is in line with the historic neighborhood, we're not exactly pushing to have the 10-foot required buffers that would normally be applicable to a commercial site in downtown Tucson. So we're asking for a waiver of those requirements, again, to keep those building footprints as much to the outside of the property lines as possible. Pedestrian access, typically in the code, we're required to have pedestrian access to all public streets that the site has access to. As part of what we feel is respectful to the neighborhoods, we'd like to restrict pedestrian access and have it focused to Stone Avenue itself. Therefore, we don't have any bleeding of patrons into the neighborhoods. We really are pushing people to use Stone as the main point of access for the property and the site itself. Some other requests that we're making as part of that would normally be part of either a technical standard modification request or even the MSR relief is the curb radii connections. The current driveway is set. We'd rather avoid having sweeping curb radii, as that typically encourages higher speeds entry and exits. This will help us reduce pedestrian vehicular conflict areas, as there is bike lane, on-street parking, as well as sidewalk itself. The MSR setback relief, Stone Avenue, is part of the MSR. It is slated to one day somehow be 90 feet wide. It's currently about 75. The tool, which is the MSR relief, which really came about 3-4 months ago, allows TDOT and Planning and Development Service to look at the MSR plan and recognize that perhaps the use of that area is not applicable to today and may not be in the future. So we are looking to utilize what would be typically granted as MSR space. We would like to use that for some of the patios, for some of the units, as well as additional landscaping and screening in that area. Lastly, alternative parking surface. The owners would really like to be able to use something other than asphalt and concrete in the parking area itself. We've been exploring options of doing sort of a grass concrete surface that allows really some permeability in the groundwork and the hardscape itself, but also brightens up the area once we have rain with some greenery in the parking lot itself. We are continuing to work with development services and engineering staff on what this might be, because the code typically really only requires concrete or asphalt. So as we explore this with them, really what we're looking from you guys is just sort of the option to be able to keep exploring if there is an alternative surface that we can be able to achieve and not have it just asphalt or concrete. So the property itself, the existing building here along the north will remain. There is a small building that's constructed here currently. That will be demolished, and that holds 3 units. The main building will hold will hold 8. The new structures are relatively small in scale, bring multiple buildings instead of having one large building. I'll let Rick talk more about the scale. We'll also have a pool here in the middle, in the center. It'll be much more of an interior design with a courtyard concept, again, trying to mitigate noise and other pollution from the neighborhoods itself. On-street parking, well, again, there will be 5 spaces along 16th. There's also additional on-street parking along Stone Avenue. The trash, you can see here, will be about as far away as we can push it to the neighbors and as close to the intersection as we can that environmental services will allow. And will be still enclosed with similar material as the buildings themselves, so it will match and blend in. Just the process itself, obviously we had a pre-application conference with staff. We hosted a neighborhood meeting, I believe that was back in November. We had a great turnout from neighbors from both Armory Park and Barrio Libre. Good discussion, and I think many people were on board with the design. We met extensively with some neighbors along Russell afterwards to talk more about the screening and the efforts being made for privacy mitigation along Russell Avenue. And we also went to a second neighborhood association meeting for Armory Park and presented again to them, which most was to good fanfare and good response. So overall, we've been pretty positive with this project. We haven't received any real negative feedback outside of a couple individuals at those meetings themselves. It's been very positive. The fine package that you have in front of you, we actually just got done with Tucson Pima County Historical Commission about 2 hours ago. And that review was, again, very favorable. They had some good questions, but for the most part, they enjoyed what we presented and think this will be an asset to the neighborhood and the area itself. And then lastly, we'll have the, once your recommendation is filed, we'll have the planning director decision. Rick, take over?
So the first couple images here are of the existing downtown Clifton. So this is the main entry off of Stone Avenue, and then this is the interior courtyard of the Clifton. Well, in looking at some of the precedent studies around Armory Park, we're looking at buildings that we wanted to create a design that that utilized a lot of the existing context that was there. So we're looking at these kind of mass structures with sort of deeper recesses into them. As Matt mentioned, a lot of these structures are also very close proximity to the property lines to give the urban sensibility and more of a pedestrian-friendly design. These are a couple others, the express use of masonry. This is the proposed design here to give you orientation. This is Stone Avenue here and 16th Street along here. This is the existing downtown Clifton, the parking lot here. This is the new public building here, and then the new guest rooms surrounding the perimeter on Stone, 16th, and Russell. The concept for the design was instead of creating one large building mass, we wanted to break this up into several smaller buildings so it would be more in line with the context of the neighborhoods and also the residential uses that are involved. As Matt mentioned as well, we were really focused on an inwardly facing design. So the main building here has the lobby, which is actually in the middle of the property, as well as the lounge area surrounded by the pool. The the hotel guest rooms themselves are two-story units along here. A lot of the design was actually based off of the existing design for the Clifton itself, which is a single story with 4-inch masonry, and then it has these really dominant horizontal planes that make up the roof for it. And so when we started looking at some of the design work for the new area, you can see it's all on the first floor is all masonry construction. And then on the second floor, we're utilizing these, again, these kind of horizontal planes that are clad in steel to match the existing downtown. This would be a view from the parking lot. You can see the entry to the lobby here. This is actually the mural that exists currently on the downtown Clifton, which I think the neighborhood really enjoys, and we wanted to make that. We wanted to carry that from the current design through the proposed design. These are a few views of the interior. Space.
Can you clarify if this is public space or just for use of the...
Yeah, so this is actually all private area. So this is the main lobby building here, surrounded by the guest room. So this is all just for the guests of downtown Clifton. So again, as Matt mentioned, a lot of our design decisions were based on mitigating noise and light and people from the surrounding neighborhood. This would be interior as well. Last views are interior too. You can see the pool area, another view of the lobby. Yeah, this is a roof-off view, so you can see the parking lot up here, the main lobby space, the pool, and the guest rooms.
So that's really the design itself. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Matt, can I ask ask you to go back to the elevation view of the project? Next one.
So each building is about a 2,400 square foot footprint. So again, trying to keep that scaled and in context to what you would normally a house footprint throughout the area.
Is all the parking in? Show us where the parking.
Correct.
Is.
So we'll have 26 spaces inside on site. There'll actually be a secondary access on Russell. That was really the main concern in the neighborhood. However, because it's a commercial operation, we need 2 points of access for fire and safety. So we will be working. The point is to actually direct as much traffic as possible still.
And you have some on-street parking as well on 16th?
Correct. So here, yes. So on this side on 16th, there's actually there's 5 existing now. It doesn't justify it, but there's actually currently 5 striped parking spaces or curbs that are available now.
I have a couple questions, but I'm happy to wait to discuss them later and then go back to staff if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We'll come back to you in a bit. Next.
Thank you.
Is staff.
No, I just have one other thing. When you said that I'm just curious, the units were two-story. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the rental units themselves are going to be two-level?
Correct. No, they're stacked guest rooms.
Okay.
So a guest room on the first floor, a guest room on the second.
Gotcha.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this section of the Infill Incentive District we have not reviewed in the last year, so just a quick kind of overview. The Greater Infill Incentive District, if you recall, I sometimes call the Infill Incentive District kind of the ugly coyote. This is one of the lakes that go down through to Five Points. In this area, the modifications are kind of a by right request of a 25% change. In this scenario, they have met each one of the items that Matt outlined. UDC section 5.12.8 allows for this use in a commercial service group. It also allows for them to have some, on-site, if they wanted to have a food truck scenario, which, you know, something we discussed early on, it does allow for that. There is space if they chose to do that and provide kind of on-site food or special events there. Specifically, this area is reviewed for pedestrian orientation, and one of the main things that stood out in my review is that the shade that they're proposing on the site is pretty substantial. The second floor actually has some additional overhangs throughout the property, and they're utilizing some of the wood kind of screening features to help with the shading towards the west for that afternoon sun. The development transition is also something we review in this area, and it became very apparent early on that the architect really considered its location within the area, and a height request was never asked for. So they wanted to keep in alignment with kind of the historic feel of the neighborhood and also be respectful to the adjacent neighborhood. Another item was the mitigation for service areas. We've worked with Environmental Services to ensure that they can access the site in a reasonable way that wouldn't be overly offensive to the adjacent neighborhoods to the east. There are 2 homes there that face the site, but they don't have direct view, so their windows on the west side are non-existent. There's also a carport on the other property, so there's no direct view into anyone's yard, which is one of the items that we were to discuss today. They also requested some modification with the perimeter side yards. It's very minor. They've provided additional landscape in this area to kind of buffer the transition in the area. Other than that, we've received only positive feedback from the community. The Historic Plans Review Subcommittee gave them a favorable review today. They did request if there was any kind of substantial modifications that they would return. This is probably a condition that you can add if you choose to as a committee. Other than that, staff does not recommend any additional conditions. There's no need for a vibration study or anything along that line.
I have a question about that because it hadn't occurred to me, and it was brought up at plans review earlier today. And several of the commissioners said, oh, there aren't any nearby Adobes. Actually, right next door to the north is the only national landmark Adobe in Armory Park. And so they're pretty good at these, and I mentioned it to Matt earlier. In terms of the demolition and grading and other things as part of this, I'd like to see some, at least monitoring, to make sure that there's no damage to the Blasco house. I think it'll probably be buffered by the remaining portion of the Clifton.
That's
but,
how we feel.
But it'd be really sad if that accidentally tumbled. It's pretty sound.
Could you clarify, is that north of the existing...
Yes, you can see it on the aerial on their first image.
Yes.
To the left of the original portion.
Yeah, it's actually the very first image. Okay, that property right there is actually on the has its own landmark status.
Right, is that... That's
it's the 1858 Blasco house.
Feet away?
It's from proposed construction.
So I'd like to see some monitoring just to ensure that there's no problems, because it occurred to me there could be there. But I'll leave it to staff to accomplish that, but I may want to add that as a condition. You didn't seem to see it as being
a
problem.
Unlike other projects that are either doing caisson or relatively, these are essentially like home construction slab.
And it's surface.
Surface. So other than this demolition...
I don't think...
I'm not crazy, a whole lot of work's going on.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a landmark, and, if that's the committee's recommendation, we're not going to sit here and throw a fight about it, to be honest.
Okay.
But it's something that we don't think it will be negatively impacted based on the...
I don't either, but I just want to make sure that...
Yeah.
Any other questions for Carolyn? Staff report. Okay. Next, Faye.
I think I concur with everything that Carolyn said. The only thing that I saw was that in the downtown area, you tend to want to have the front doors on the street, so it induces more pedestrian-type traffic. In this case, the main entrance is into the parking and to the south. And I've kind of looked at this, and I'm thinking that perhaps there is no choice because we want to expose the historic buildings as much as we can, and I don't see how else you can actually do it without having to leave that portion away from the street.
Just if I can add, the remaining office and lighting sign will still remain. The other issue we have struggling with connecting the street to Stone is grading. We have to move everything counterproductive to the east. All of our utilities have to go east instead of west because there's no sewer. So we are actually, this side sits up a little bit. So it wouldn't make a very accessible ADA ability to actually put doors on Stone. So we try to mitigate the best we can by stepping it back, having a large patio, so there's still some sort of appeal of interaction that can go on between residents, guests, and what's happening on the street.
So I'm okay with it.
Any other comments?
No, everything else seems very nice.
Okay, then we'll go into board discussion on this project.
One thing, I will say they've done a great job of meeting with all of us and meeting concerns. The only resident that was kind of concerned was because of the access onto Russell, but because of fire code, we understand why that's there. Most of the immediately adjacent neighbors were pretty pleased with this, and I feel they did a good job talking to them. One thing that Monica Lane is one of the owners and came and presented at the Armory Park Neighborhood Association. One of the things that attracted her so much to those two lots is that they are surrounded by actually a historic feature. All the little low walls all the way around it were built by the same people who did the 1938 CCC construction of sidewalks in the neighborhood. And in places throughout the neighborhood, they are listed or recognized as historic features. So Monica would like to incorporate them. I realize that it is a problem with major streets and routes. I don't know if that has been addressed, but if you could incorporate portions of those low concrete walls that have been there for 90 years, I'd really like to see it. And if you've got any answers to kind of what I brought up.
We've talked about it a lot, even previous project that was proposed. MS&R is definitely one reason for TDOT power that maintenance works out. The other reason, as I just mentioned, the grading, we do sit about a foot and a half above. Mm-hmm. So we're not putting a retaining wall against it or trying to create that. Poses a little bit of a look and a challenge problem for us with those patios. So that's something we're trying to figure out if we can, because we'd rather not put a wall. We'd rather slope it down and vegetate it rather than create some sort of blocked wall feature and have to separate from that wall. So that's, right now, it's tough. I know, I understand the owner's desire, and then Rick and I get involved, and we sort of have struggle with it.
If you could include some of it, it would be nice. Has a feature defining. I understand your limitations. I would like to also recommend, though, that they are documented as the demolition of an historic feature, which is basically photographs and just.
We can put it as part of the demo for the OJ.
I like them recorded that they were once there.
Are they. This is the first I've heard of these. I'm sorry. Are they listed structures?
They are not listed structures because generally features of a site rather than a building were what was put on the National Register listing and then the HPZ, but there are parts of them on other properties throughout the area that are actually listed as contributing features.
So documentation would be acceptable?
Documentation would be acceptable, okay. And photographs and that sort of thing, but I'd like them recorded that that was a feature on that particular site. There were three houses there originally, and it's part of the character that, as I said, even Monica was really attracted to when they purchased the lot. So I don't want to see that just not even recognize that it was ever there.
Any other comments or feedback about the project?
Just for clarification, you were saying that you didn't feel like you would be able to keep those in place because you have to fill that part of
correct.
The site?
Correct. So the only sewer we have access to is in Russell. There's no sewer in Stone. So in order, we're bucking grade, essentially, to make that work. So we're trying to create, really, the site slopes sort of to the northwest. We're kind of picking a point over on Russell, and the site's going to be quite level. So it'll end up, when it gets to Stone, sitting a little bit higher than you see it today. Again, that's, so we all know which way things flow, to make sure we can actually create positive flow on the site.
So would there be a greater chance of retaining any portion of that wall along 16th Street than there would be on Stone?
I was looking at the picture right now. That's what we're looking at. We'd have to go back and look.
I mean, if that's
prominent as always been.
Kind of where you're trying to get things to flow to, and you're going to raise things up along Stone. Seems like maybe towards the southeast corner of the project would be most feasible, if at all feasible.
Yeah.
So if they can engineer it, that would be, you prefer that.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Sorry to throw that.
Okay. No, I
in, but
we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. I avoided it.
I know.
On these small sites, is there any retention requirement?
When it's under an acre, no. There is. We are trying to put in some areas where we can create places where we can put water so we're not losing all that flow. But essentially the existing condition, as long as we're able to show we're not negatively affecting it.
And then one other kind of related question that wasn't brought up at plans review and I forgot to ask Jonathan about today. Since there were three buildings there that are on his map as demolished, eligible contributing,
right. Do
you have to do any archaeological or excavation work on the site to record anything you find or disturb?
He has not indicated anything towards this.
So let me just clarify that piece.
Okay.
In any construction project, if there is during the process, if they run into something or they locate something that looks like it could be an archaeological item,
okay.
There's a stop work that's placed on the property, and this Jonathan or someone that works in his group or a third party is asked to come out and review the item and, you know, check and see if there's a dig that's required because of it.
Okay, I just don't know. I mean, there could be trash pits with old bottles. There could be right. foundations. They could have been surface bungalows. I'm not exactly sure. So I thought I'd raise the question. It's something we should consider if it needs to be.
Okay. Robin, Kathleen, do you have any comments?
Otherwise, it's great, and I think the neighborhood supported.
Okay. Hey, getting back to a comment about the wall, you know, in the wall there are these little entryways. And I'm wondering if you don't save the wall, maybe at least save the entryways as you know, a compromise.
Yeah. We share the same feeling on that wall. I mean, it's well constructed. It's been there for 90 years. Just kind of as Matt alluded to, it's been a tricky for several reasons with the drainage, with the MSR, with everything that's going on with it. But you know, and that's something that we're continuing to look at, and we'd love to preserve that as well. So I think these are great comments.
Okay. So that'll get factored into the site engineering.
We'll have to. Yes. Yes, I'm thinking.
And I trust that you'll notify Faye of any inclusion of that so that we're correct to date on that.
Yeah, we'll note as part of the approval and conditions when we resubmit for approvals. We'll try to work out what we exactly we'll be able to save or whatever.
Okay.
There's one more item that we didn't discuss, and that's the mural. Oh, can you just take a moment to...
Basically the image on the front of the package.
Yeah.
So, face of that, there's a mural that's been that when the owners of the downtown Clifton remodeled it, they installed that mural, and I think it's been a great mural, and the neighborhood has really embraced it, and they've really enjoyed having the mural and the positive feedback that they've gotten from it. So one of the things that we wanted to do was actually preserve that mural by moving it. Well, it would actually be redone, but in the same spirit from the existing building it is on now to the new building that we're proposing. So that we can maintain that kind of, we can carry that continuity of the feel of the current Clifton into the new design.
So it's not a literal preservation.
We're going to recreate it.
And can you remind us of the location that it will be on? Is it going to be facing the same direction?
It's actually going to be on the. So it's actually right here. So it's on the north side of the public building. So currently it sits back here. So it's a bit more removed from stone. So it's actually closer to stone, but facing a different orientation. But we think that by moving it in this direction, it's still highly visible from stone as you're driving or walking.
Have you had any conversations about permeable pavers for the parking area?
We've had general discussions with engineering staff.
Okay.
It's reluctant.
Yes, I understand.
So in past projects, we've had multiple conversations about. So I think this is on a smaller scale where they've been open to exploring this. It's just really a matter of can we meet the code requirements for weight and accessibility and fire and safety. This would definitely be a precedent and a guinea pig if they were allowed, for sure.
Carolyn, on the MSNR and the curb radii and the alternative paving, as those are kind of more technical items, what is our purview there?
So with the MSNR, it is something that's allowed to be reviewed within the infill incentive district. Because of the timing with the new ordinance that just came through, we wanted to ensure that TDOT and PDSD were in alignment with how to review that. It's my understanding that TDOT would prefer that we ran it through this group, and then that they would kind of review it on the back end instead of another formal piece of review.
If we take no exception, they may still have comments or points of discussion with you, but they're the end decision maker.
Correct.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Thank you.
Since it's part of their proposal to minimize the curbs and pursue that, do we need to make it as part of our motion if we are encouraging them to go forward with that?
The other two items were placed in for your reference and education on the project. They're not in our purview with this committee.
Okay.
If there are no more questions or comments, is there, Lori?
I had a couple of things I wanted to ask about. What are you proposing for the alternative pervious paving? And where, if you could point that out on the landscape plan?
Yeah, I think.
Or bring the landscape plan onto the projector?
Yeah, I actually don't think he's going to work. It'll actually just be the parking spaces themselves. So the actual PAL will still be asphalt.
So would that be, for example, a subgrade of gravel with granite on top, or hot, or
I wrote it down.
Some of those honeycomb structures.
Correct, yeah.
Subgrade.
What page is that off?
Page 17 is where it makes that note. It's called drivable grass.
What's it called?
Drivable grass.
Drivable grass.
Yeah, it's a company called Soil Attention. At least that was the spec that we were monitoring as well as equipment, so to speak. And as you were mentioning, it's in a hex pattern,
right?
Essentially with a membrane or soil.
I'm having a hard time locating that, so give me a minute here.
Yeah, page 18 at the top.
We would actually plan set or what?
Sorry? Oh, no, just the document of the book itself.
18.
It's in the front part. The note, the plan, may actually.
And why are you looking at an alternate source? Is it a drainage issue? Is it a? There must be some other issue that you're looking
it's
at.
It's actually a design. So instead of having a large asphalt parking lot right at the entry that can be maybe a little bit of a negative aesthetic and kind of a small heat island, the idea was if we could use an alternative, more pervious material for it, that it would be a little bit more in concept with sort of the dense landscaping that we're doing, and maybe a little bit more of a relationship to the desert. So the product is a druggable grass product, which I think is what they use in most of the country, although they also allow it to have a compressed granite in there, and so we'd actually be using stone infill. We wouldn't have it we wouldn't be watering grass.
So it's not grass per se, nor is it artificial turf.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, inorganic. I think those ideas are really good if you can get them approved. I think it's,
currently it's a sort of a gravel or a crushed DG parking lot. The owners would really like to keep some semblance of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, code sort of restrictions for being able to do those sort of things, so this was kind of a best case alternative that we thought would be able to work and kind of break up the marketing.
The city of Tucson has approved that at
Audubon.
Nature Conservancy Office. So.
Yeah. They have. There's in the past. It's been a maintenance concern for drainage, which is why they've been reluctant
right. The
last few years when we proposed it. So, we're hoping.
Okay. We're hoping by doing it in the parking spaces,
not
the PAL, that we're maybe striking kind of a happy medium between those two.
Okay. And the paving that you show that goes from the existing Clifton across the parking area, what is that going to be?
So that's a paver product that's in there, and the idea for it is that we want to create a strong pedestrian connection on the site between the existing Clifton and the new design. So we wanted to vary the surface material. You can also see that there's trees that are planted and an island at both sides of those, so we can really bridge that as much as possible coming through there.
But what is the surface going to be like?
Pavers. So it would be traffic-rated pavers.
Okay. I'm just thinking, just for the sake of your own project and your guests, for example, the when you have pressed concrete with the, you know, the openings, it makes it difficult for people to walk on or pull a rolling bag. So if it's a smooth, that's what I was trying to figure out, if it's going to be kind of a smooth surface on that.
Yep. Yes. So so a small, tight grid, smooth paver, kind of for that reason.
The I couldn't tell from looking on this a couple things. One, there's a detail of grouted riprap, and I wondered where, I didn't really see where that occurs on site and why it might be needed. Or if it's just was included as, you know, an extra detail that's not being used, I don't know. That's on the page 6
yeah,
of 11.
It's used for sort of the, it's actually in these areas on the development plan. It's for the edges when water comes off the concrete sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
You just have forced erosion. You have riprap there for the water to.
Okay, just small areas of it, not big banks.
No,
okay.
Just because, again, we're up a little bit, so put the gravel right around so it doesn't do any of that erosion.
Okay. The also, the openings between buildings along 16th Street, I wondered if there's going to be fencing in between, because it looks like a pedestrian walking down the street could walk between the buildings, which I'm thinking you probably don't want.
Correct, yeah. So there's fencing, and there's also dense vegetation for both those reasons. So we wanted to break the building massing by separating it, but we did also want to control the access points coming into the property.
What kind of fencing is proposed?
So we're looking at wood fencing that comes around there. There's a bit of wood that was used on the current Clifton itself. And so we're looking at, and then there's a little bit of there's obviously a precedent of it in Armory Park as well. So we're looking at kind of a linear slat wood fencing. It does have, it's not completely opaque. You can see through it a little bit, which we think that if you have a little bit of transparency through there, it actually makes you feel more safe than if you have a complete opaque wall that you don't know who or what is kind of behind that on the other side. So that's been our idea for it.
Yeah, it seems, maybe just a matter of personal preference, but it seems like a little bit of wrought iron or tubular steel might be more appropriate for those locations, only because the wood fencing pretty quickly deteriorates.
Sure.
And is unsightly in a pretty, you know, just a matter of several years. And then you have this maintenance issue, but it's on the street side, so the owners aren't really looking at it all the time, and I just think it would be better long-term and more sustainable to have more of a wrought iron fencing, so I hope you would consider that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point, and we share kind of a similar view on the use of wood in Tucson, and
uh-huh.
So we feel the same way. It's actually something that the owners have really expressed, because they feel the connection, they feel the texture to it. So, and when we've had the same discussions, I think it's something that, because it's what they're really interested in, they know there's maintenance involved, they know there's more upkeep to it than the Main Street, than the steel, than the other elements that they have. And so I think that's something that they're embracing on this project. But
okay.
I think
it'll eventually probably change.
Change to steel, yeah, or something, to wrought iron, something.
And then, in general, the plant materials, the sheet that we got didn't really have letters, had more squares and stuff, so I couldn't really tell on that. We did send the plan, and I looked at a couple of things. So I was looking at some of the plant materials, and I can tell enough to know that you're using thorn or proposing thornless mesquite along the south boundary. And would you consider switching over to a native mesquite, since that is what is called out for in the streetscape standards, rather than the honey mesquite?
I don't think we would have a problem.
Okay. The trees that you're using along Stone Avenue are the pistache.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great tree, and I like it very much. I drove by there, but now I don't remember what other trees are in along in stone in that area, if that's going to fit in or not.
TDOT, if there does exist, TDOT will actually have us probably plant what currently exists on stone.
Will what?
TDOT will require us more than likely to plant whatever is existing there along the stone.
Uh-huh.
Keep it
ruined.
Okay. Yep. Don't know off the top of my head what it is. I can't remember what their comments were from our first development plan, but
okay.
Usually with Gary, we've done plans with him. He likes to keep things pretty consistent, especially in TDOT right of way.
Uh-huh.
So if it needs to change, it'll be whatever is currently existing there.
We've been looking at that whole area for years and years and years, and there's actually a pedestrian improvement project that's going in later this year, and we've never been able to identify a consistency because there are no consistent trees in that entire stretch. There aren't on 6th Avenue either. It's kind of weird, and that particular block now is very exposed. There's nothing on it. And I don't think there are any trees in either direction for a number of blocks.
Yeah, there's
so there's no consistency there. And TDOT never wanted us to do tree planting along there because trees are a hazard to vehicles.
They are.
Whereas concrete and steel barricades are not, but trees are. So, you know.
We may have had to change stone and move to tree grades instead of having a strip. TDOT's express in certain sidewalks buckling, so we may have to adjust some of that.
I would also request that you talk to Jesse Sato, who is the project manager for that, because you're getting clip-on pedestrian lighting on the Cobras and some other things in that area, and some street improvements. So,
The pistache also is not on the list of trees in the streetscape standards. I like the tree and don't have a big objection to it, and it actually provides some nice color to our fall season. So, but I think that it sounds like TDOT really will defer to what their requirements are.
Yes.
We try to add color in that resort, slowly get knocked back down.
The access along the Russell Avenue, that alleyway or Russell.
Yes.
Did you consider having a fire breakaway in that area, gates, to satisfy the fire requirement?
The issue is how we swing the gate. We can't exactly swing it out into the road. We can't swing it in because then it technically blocks parking spaces and access. And having a sliding gate doesn't work with the existing structures. So, we looked into it and felt that it may actually cause more of a barrier than really just having it open and using signage or directional within the site to keep people moving west. We don't have the sidewalk will actually not extend out to Russell, so the idea that pedestrians always turn west when they come out.
We actually, on the building on the far east side here, we stopped the parking spaces short, and we actually moved that building as far north as we could in an effort to throttle that down as much as possible. So we tried to use as many of these design cues as we could to promote the use of stone and limit the use on Russell. And then, I think, as Matt said, with the signage as well.
That's what I have.
Yeah, the existing impact of the buildings on this side is I think, mentioned it's a carport, and the west side of the building has one small bathroom window. So the idea that we're not creating sort of headlight intrusion into the neighbors, we sort of felt this would be okay.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty neat project, and it's exciting that the owners feel there's demand enough to expand. So
it's been a crazy 3 years for them. Originally, they wanted to demolish it, but slowly.
One last question. This is a second version of something on this site. Would you be adverse if we added a similar condition to plans review that if you do something substantially different, you come back? Okay.
No,
I didn't think so, but I thought I'd ask.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask for a motion.
You're always good at phrasing.
It's become my job.
You're so good at it.
All right, I'll try. Let me know if I'm skipping anything. I don't think that I actually heard any. I only heard two conditions. That's all I really heard, two conditions. So I move to approve the, as presented today, with the following conditions: to include a requirement for vibration monitoring during construction, and to come back to the committee with any substantial revisions to the presented plan.
May I add one?
No. Because you made me do it.
This is what you get. If you take the lead, you get the
add. I said I only heard two conditions, and those are two conditions. Go ahead, John.
The condition is that encourage them to retain any portion of the potentially historic wall, and if not, to document it.
As long as the word is not encouraging, because I understand there's some technical concerns, right, and I don't want to put undue...
I'm happy with encourage. I understand they're doing what they're doing, okay, but I want to make sure that it is documented.
Okay. We have a motion.
If not.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Discussion.
Under discussion?
Yeah, I would ask that the motion be amended to include the replacement of honey mesquite with the native mesquite.
Okay.
Or substitution.
Next acceptable amendment.
Okay, next time I say I only have two conditions, that's your cue, guys, to speak up.
I didn't know which one you heard.
Okay, any other amendments before we go? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Can we take a quick break?
That'd be good.